Welcome to episode 178 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm joined with Marty and Nick. How are we going today, fellas?
Nick.
See, I tricked you, Marty. It's not Nick. I'm just so used to, I'm feeling Nick. Comfortable. I'm used to introing people. We've actually got a guest today and Nick's I have thrown you, Marty. I've thrown you. But before we welcome our guest, how are you, Marty? And then I'll get the big welcome introduction happening for our guest.
Well, I was all right till you threw my whole rhythm out. You know, I had everything set up. Just, I was pumped. I was hyped. And I had to double check. I'm going, I'm sure I'm looking at a bloke named Greg Bramage. And I'm 52. You can't mess with me like that. That could throw my whole day out, mate. But no, I'm good. I'm collecting myself and really looking forward to this chat because, again, you know, we're going from someone who's ultra fit doing some amazing things to someone who's very unfit here. So I'm gonna pick up a lot, as I always do with our guests. So, yeah. Great to have Greg on the show. I'm excited. So, yeah, Jace, you probably are best to give us a background on Greg because you know him very, very well.
Of course. Before we throw to Greg to see how he's going, I'm excited to be in this episode. Greg actually featured on the pod about 2 years ago. It was April 2022. We had Greg on to talk about life-changing habits. Greg, by way of background, had started running every day. He was on a streak of maybe a year streak then. It was 365 days and pushing 400 or 500 days at that stage. And for our audience, believe it or not, we're now over 1,300 days since Greg's streak started and the guy is still running or still exercising every day. The life-changing habits have continued. Welcome to the show, Greg. How are you going?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me back. Alter ego Nick going forward.
Yeah, look, I was just so excited. I wasn't paying attention. I've got my usual rhythm of the welcome, build up to the show. But just to throw in a little bit more of the background, because, you know, for those who know Future Advisory Story, and maybe Marty, you know, you might even not know some of this stuff, but Greg and I have actually worked together for, I think it's around 22 years. So Marty, when I started at McDonald's at the ripe age of 14 and 9 months, Greg was actually my crew trainer. And he was the first person that kind of guided me and steered me into the world of McDonald's, teaching me what systems and procedures were. So poor old Greg's, you know, you might even have a question for Greg of what it's been like to put up with me for 22 years. But did you know that, Marty?
No, I know, because I've dealt with you for the last 4 years. So I empathize with Greg and I'm glad he's on the show to sort of give me some comfort, Jace. But, you know, we love you. But who smashed more Big Macs at the time? Was it you, Jace, or Greg?
I reckon it was me, and that's almost where my running journey began. I'd blown out to 95 kilos at that stage, like between 14 and 18, smashing beers once you turn 18 and going out. And I reckon Greg noticed that I was probably getting on the larger side, and he took me to Listerfield Lake. We're Endeavour Hills boys. That's where we grew up. And I remember one of my first ever running experiences was Greg kind of shuffling his feet really slowly while I was huffing and puffing and dying, trying to do a lap of Listerfield. Do you remember that, Greg?
Definitely do, mate. It started with Macca's and I think Max is still on the card. So it's a regular for us still.
Well, it's Macca's is a regular for Greg, and it's part of some of the questions later on that have been sent in by our team as to Greg's diet and how that's all going. You know, mate, it's been an epic journey, not just obviously life-changing habits episode talked about what running had done for you, and we want to do a bit of a follow-up with some questions. I think there's always plenty that can be learned from someone who has, you know, routine habits, dedication and mindset, and we want to kind of dive into a bit of that. I think, you know, working with you as well, I've seen the difference that it's made to your life and mine over the you know, 13. Have you got the official days? I should have asked. Well, we're at 1,300 and
1,306. So just over.
Oh, we just ticked over. So, you know, congratulations and well done. And, you know, there's obviously heaps that you can learn from that. So, to kick in, we've got a few questions that we've organized and then we'll kind of fire away as we go. But, also, leading into this, we talked in one of the previous episodes about the London Marathon. What was your experience like and how have you recovered from the London Marathon, mate? How are you feeling?
Recovered well. Training for the next marathon now with 8 weeks to go, but that was an experience beyond imagination. 55,000, I think, completed marathon runners. I think they were 25 shy of breaking the world record, Guinness Book World Record. So if we'd done that, another 25 people have finished, we all would have got a plaque for the most marathons completed in one race. So they're going to go for it next year. I got my name on my shirt, so apparently the crowd was meant to be unreal. So what I did pre-race and what I heard from all the tips was to get your name printed on your shirt. So I got my expensive running singlet and got it printed, my name Brammer on it. And throughout the race, throughout the 42 kilometers, throughout the 3 hours of running, I would have heard my name yelled out over 100 plus times. I ran into some issues on the back end of the marathon. I pushed myself a little bit too hard and the crowd of getting stuck into me, Brammer, keep going, you've done so well, finish off, just really pushed me over the line when I thought maybe it was a DNF that was going to come.
That's so exciting, mate. I mean, at 52, you don't get your name called out very often anymore, so I might have to get into marathon running as well. But take me back to, you know, when I listen to you talk about this and you've been running for 1,306 days straight, who is that person that was on the couch prior to starting the run compared to now? I know there'd be a lot of positive changes, but I'd love to know how wide that berth was from where you started to where you are now, because that must be – you must look back and think that's incredible in some way.
Definitely was. I suppose if you go back, you know, 4 years, I guess. I was no energy, didn't want to get off the couch, just stayed in my bubble. It was easy just to say no, to have a kick of the footy, to go for a run. The answer was no. It's definitely changed. I'm open to doing new things, learning new things, being better for my business partner, for my wife, my kids. The energy level totally changed. And looking back over a photo, yes, there was the weight side has also changed, but mentally and physically is a whole new level that I'd never experienced before.
Yeah, it's incredible, mate. Well, like I just go, what was the switch? Was it like, I know we've probably talked about it 2 years ago, but again, for our audience to give context, what was the switch to start?
I don't like losing to Jason. He put a bet on the table, 20 days of running, 20 minutes, let's see who can lose the most weight, and $200 gift card at the end. So that's what started it. That's what triggered it. And then it was a personal challenge. Don't give up. Keep trying. Who says you can't run more than 20 days, 50 days, 100 days, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 1,000 plus days?
And what I love about that is the mateship in that as well, because again, you know, Jace has obviously challenged you in that moment, probably, yeah, because he wanted to beat you too. But but I love the fact that as mates, there's sort of that accountability and care for each other, even in the initial start point. I think that's brilliant, guys. And that's probably, well, I know it would be what makes you great business partners as well, because genuine care on top of the capabilities that you both have. So that's tremendous, Jace, that you sort of called that.
Well, it's Greg and I had come through a bit of a difficult time. We'd had a business separation and Future Advisory was starting. There was heaps of things in the air and it was COVID. I mean, I don't know if we've moved on to the point where we forgot about that thing that happened, especially to people in Melbourne, but we're kind of in lockdown. There was limited things we could do. And yeah, I threw that challenge out there because I was miserable too. Like I wasn't happy. There was no routine, no structure, no habits to my day. And, you know, I said to Greg, we need to snap out of this and start this. And, you know, we've, you know, creating that 20 minutes a day, I'd actually said to Greg, you know, let's do 5 kilometers, you know, 5 kilometers a day. That's the challenge for 20 days. And Greg had gone, mate, I haven't ran for 6 months. I can't do 5 kilometers. Let's just make it 20 minutes. And even if he just shuffles for 3Ks, like as long as he did his 20 minutes a day. And I was like, you know what, that's fair, all good. And yeah, throwing in, you know, we're accountants, we love challenges. Like we're accountants for the accountability and the numbers side of it. So it was how much weight could we lose? How many kilometers could we cover and all the rest? And, you know, getting to the end of that. And then when I, you know, Greg had messaged just saying day 30 tick. And I was like, whoa, he's still going. Cause yeah, lockdown had ended. The challenge had ended. I cracked the shits cause I lost and had to pay $200 to Greg. And I think he got a nice new pair of sneakers that probably started part of his, you know, running shoe obsession. And, you know, then I got one for day 50 and I was like, oh, day 50, like, geez, Greg's doing well here. And I remember day 100, another friend rocked up to Greg's house with a cake with some candles on it. And you know, where I'm getting at with this is, you know, we talked about the first one being called life-changing habits, but honestly, for Greg and I and our business and, you know, his wife, his kids and the people around us, there's a huge difference in how we're perceived, what our energy levels are like, how we react as business owners, you know, stress, how we handle it and how we, you know, kind of bounce back from things. And then even, you know, from not just a business level, but a personal side, you know, the fact that Greg and I in our lives got to travel to London together and you know, tick off a bucket list item running the London Marathon, which is one of the most, you know, insane events in the world to get into and run. So it's been one hell of a journey. And, you know, while we're kind of throwing the questions out there and the, you know, at 1,306 days, Greg, at any point in time, I'd love to know, What's been the biggest challenge in keeping the streak alive? And on the hard and difficult and shit days, what actually gets you up and gets you to do it? Get that run done.
It's a consistency and habit, right? It's creating a new habit for yourself and it's part of your day. So I need to find a day. That's what I tick off every day. Now it's changed from a running streak to exercise / running, just for where I am at my training program. But there definitely has been some tough days. So you would think, you know, running every day that you will eat better and not drink. I definitely have eaten a little bit better. The drinking's still there, not as much, but probably one of the hardest days, I guess, was when I've got, might've been COVID, a virus, something that sort of bedridden me for 2 days. And I think I was at 700 and I said, that's it. Streak's over. I can't even keep anything down. I'm throwing up nonstop. It's over. And then I messaged one of my mates and said, I'm done. I'm happy. It's over. I got a good run out of it. 2 years. I've just got nothing left. And he pretty much wrote back, and it's around the people that you surround yourself with. And he wrote back, harden up, rest up a bit more, focus, get yourself right. You've gone this far. Don't let a stupid virus end the streak. You end the streak when you want to end the streak. And that was enough to push me along, as saying,
I got chills.
So 11:30 that night, I found some energy to get that 20 minutes in and kept it along, and it was easier after that. But it was that mindset or that trigger point and the people that you surround yourself with to snap you out of it. And when I want to end the streak, I'll end it on my term.
So do you prep in advance for your running? Because I guess in the beginning you would have, you know, set up your morning or set up your day somehow to ensure you're running. But what do you do sort of naturally now that you really had to consciously think about in the early days in starting to run to now? I would think it would be very habitual. Is there anything that you're doing in prep work to know you're going for a run, or is it just a part of life now?
Just with business, life, prepare yourself to give you the best chance to succeed, right? So early parts was understanding where my family and my work life sit and what I can't change, and then what space I do have to run. So if it's morning or late, how do we do that? So if it's morning, have the clothes ready to go. I'm not fiddling around, wasting 15, 20 minutes or not getting out of bed because my clothes are ready to go. If it's nighttime, we make sure we get the kids down and then do my time so I can do my run or do my exercise so I can spend some quality time with my wife. So it's, some things don't move in life, some things you can move, but working away and planning ahead and giving yourself the best chance to succeed is where it's at.
Gregor, you mentioned, you know, quality time with your wife and you mentioned your daughters and getting them down to bed at night. So around those habits and routines of making it work. But I guess, you know, some people make excuses that they can't get it done or they're too busy with family, you know, talking about Christmas Day, Mother's Day, all these different events that happen where you'd think maybe that's the day that you can't get out and get the run done. How supportive have Kate and the girls been in making sure that, you know, are they with you with this? Like, they support you and they love they've become part of the streak, or is this frustrating for them sometimes?
I suppose the streak or the exercise is part of me and they support me. It's definitely, the positive part has been I'm fitter, I'm a more active dad. It's rubbed off on the kids. The kids are keen to try to run with me, ride their bike alongside me. And even when it's the nighttime session and I have to get on the treadie downstairs, the girls are trying to get on the exercise bike and the cross trainer while I do my run. So it's definitely run, you know, rubbed off on them. For a fitness level and seeing what I do on a daily basis, and they know I go for a run or exercise every day. So that positive fitness side of things has definitely rubbed off on the kids. For Kate, all the negative part on it, the guilt of Mother's Day, Christmas Day, birthdays having to try to go out for a run or an exercise. I try to time those days to best suit our family needs. So I'll get up way earlier to get the run done so I don't chew into that time. But it's about having the right support network, be life, work, and everything around you that, you know, you want to have the people around you that will support you and help you be the best that you can be. And this is my stage of life that this means a lot to me. And, you know, I'm lucky to have those people be Kate, the kids, and a business partner in Jace.
Yeah, that's incredible to have that support network. How have you optimized your running over time? Because obviously it first starts as a habit. What have you learned about your running, maybe running style? Have you got a coach? How's it evolved from when you first began?
It's definitely evolved. It started for 20 minutes and trying to beat a bit with Jason. Then it became a running track for how long it could last, 100 days, 1 day, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Then it became running to achieve a goal. Let's be less than 1% of the world and let's complete a marathon. So we did that, ticked off that, and then it became, well, you've run one marathon. Why don't you go for the six global marathons before you're 40? All right, well, let's do that now. So as that came along, the streak came, hit 1,000 days. And then when you start to train further and you start to do these bigger runs and trying to push your body to where your body's never been, you start to work out that the streak worked early to get me to where I'm at, but things need to change if I want to keep evolving and getting better, pivot, be both business and life to get better. And that's where if you talk about a coach, you talk about business coach, life coach, people who have been there, done that before, you only know what you know. So it's obviously there's a lot of knowledge out there, a lot of people telling you different things, but having people that have experienced and you can gain and learn and soak for both work and for running, that's the same philosophy that I'm using. So yes, a coach and online resources, definitely something I'm leaning on to get better as a runner to achieve my latest goal of hitting those six majors before I turn 40.
Now, you know, having a coach, I've recently picked up a running coach too, so it's an interesting one. I'd say, and just to kind of fill in a bit of background as well, maybe on your first marathon time compared to, you know, Gold Coast last year, you ran a 3:09. And is the goal now currently to get a sub 3 hour, 2:59 and below? Have I got that right?
Yep, that's the goal, to get into another elite level of a target point, which is sub 3 hours.
Yeah. So when Marty asked the last question, I was worried about how long we had in the podcast to be able to get over it, because he asked about, you know, how the running has evolved and, you know, being on the other side and knowing more about you. This one's not a question that we'd prepped you for, but how many pairs of running shoes do you own? How much money do you think you've spent on running gear, being shoes, gels, headphones, and everything else? And then after that, the serious question is, what's the best bit of advice you can give to someone on getting their running journey up and about?
Oh, well, that's a how long is a piece of string of how much I've spent as you become and learn about running and learning about it in terms of fueling, food, pre-race, during race, after race, and then you start talking about shoes and carbon fiber, PIBA foam. We're talking a lot of different things. So if we're talking about shoes, I've probably got about 10 different racing pairs of shoes, which are probably $300 to $400 each. And then if you talk about your daily trainers and speed workout shoes, there's a variety of other stuff. So there's a lot of money being spent. But again, it's always learning what your body can achieve. So that first marathon that you talk about, where it was 3:46 and I struggled and walked, and they call it bonking because you run out of energy because you didn't fuel right to be the start and during the race, you learn that and you get better the next time. So we're talking about a lot of time on your feet. But again, I might be running for 1,306 days, but it's still a learning curve of, you know, what your body can handle, what you can do mentally, and obviously sometimes just what's on the day and those other things in terms of fueling and shoes, they all help. But yeah, it does come a lot down to the mental side of thing as well in the long runs.
Greg, is there an end to this streak in the way it's operating at the moment, or is it just something that will be a part of you ongoing forever?
The streak's evolved. It's now I've learned that running every day to achieve the goal that I'm trying to achieve, which is a sub 3, that I can't run every day based off my mechanics and body. So it's exercise is what I do in between on the so-called rest days. I'll be on the bike or the cross trainer. At the moment, that's working for me. Started doing strength and conditioning as well, which I didn't realize was required for these long runs. So at the moment, it's part of me. It keeps me active. It gives me at least a minimum of 20 minutes where I'm switching off and the phone isn't buzzing with work questions, or I just get some peace and some time to myself to better improve myself.
So psychologically, it's like now when we're optimizing, so if you can't run every day to achieve the results that you want to achieve, obviously, but your everything is still focused on that every day as a part of your journey, like whether it's strength conditioning, so you're continuously, you're still doing something, yeah, absolutely every day regardless, and that'll be just a part of who you are by the sounds of it.
Yep, just trying to keep getting better and learning along the way to be better and achieving, again, your be business or not, you try to work out what your end goal is. I know where my end goal needs to be and I've reconstructed it to work out where and what I'm flawed at, and which is strength and resting, because I always ran. So a little bit of resting and a little bit easier on the bike is better for the body, so I can push harder on the hard runs and get those longer runs in to hit my marathon time.
Definitely is very cool. Now, I can't take credit for this question. Nick did want to get involved and send in a few questions, so I'm throwing this one in the mix here. But, you know, for someone who has ran so many days, you've got a busy life, you've got a busy schedule with work, you know, we've got Christmas parties and events that happen. Nick wanted to know, what's the craziest story you can think of about fitting in a run or getting a run done? You know, what was the environment? What was the time of day? Where were you? What's the lengths you've had to go to keep the streak alive?
Well, obviously the one where the streak almost ended and squished that on him with the virus, causing the end of the streak. That was one of the tough one. The other one is I also have a business partner that does tend to like to drink and get caught up drinking and enjoying life and celebrating life with him, that pushed me over my, not that I'm endorsing drinking, but pushed me over my limits. So it was a very tough day. The following day I had to call in sick for work, and I was still not feeling very well or still a little bit hungover towards the end of the day, but still needed to get it done. So I was sort of trying to get out the door and threw up a couple of times on the run, but not feeling too well, but got it done still nevertheless. So that taught me a lesson not to drink too much or drink too much with Jason anyway.
Talk about running to the toilet, he still got out. That's incredible. Goodness me, I wouldn't be able to move. But I was thinking in regards to just the processes and thought processes to the commitment and the actions to running. Have you applied that to any other areas of your life or business? Because I always think it's interesting when you're dominating in a particular context, have you used that strength consciously in other areas? Because you did mention that you go, like, yeah, I'm pretty ferocious when there's new opportunity on something. You obviously have another level of confidence with what you've done. But I'd just be interested to dig into that a little bit, if you've used those skills in different contexts, personally or professionally.
The business has gone through a lot of changes, or me and Jason have gone through a lot of changes within the business over the last couple of years. I think with all this running, the mental part of it, that's my mental strength has definitely increased. I don't think I would have got through it. So there's common feedback within the team of, I don't understand how you guys do it. I think it's a learning thing. This has sort of created what I can achieve and what I can learn.
So I'll chip in there, because, you know, I've got the experience of being able to listen to you and hear from you over the 3 years. And, you know, from an inspiration level, I messaged some of the team before this and said, have you got any questions for Greg? And a lot of the messages I got were just, you know, I'm just in awe of him. You know, I'm inspired by him, the way he does things. So there's this leadership and presence that we get from Greg, from what he's learned and what he's done over those years. And beyond that, Greg was also, you remember listening to Coach Bennett on the Nike Run Club app. And Coach Bennett says a lot of things that, you know, to help you get through the runs that you're doing. And often sometimes some of those sayings were interchangeable to bring into the workplace. And Greg would reel off these one-liners in the middle of a meeting. I'd be like, man, that was really inspirational. Like, that's awesome. But this is the new version of Greg, or the upgraded post-running version of Greg that we didn't have a couple of years ago. The guy who might have been a bit more quiet, a bit more reserved, a bit more behind the scenes is now front and center of the action, leading and inspiring a team of people that can look up to Greg and go, you know what? Like, I can take lessons from his habits, routines, dedication, you know, to want to be successful. And Greg talks about at work how, you know, if you want to be successful, you have to put in the work. So I think, you know, they're the kind of things that we wouldn't have without this version of Greg and what he's learned over the years from the running journey. Do you agree, Greggy?
Yeah, lead from the front.
Well, I can even tell from 2 years ago, your confidence and strength in communication and just your aura and what you've accomplished, you can tell that what you've accomplished is in your body and mind and the way you communicate. It's quite confronting, actually, in a good way, compared to even, you know, you'd started the journey obviously for a year, 2 years ago, but it's very, very powerful. It comes across powerful just in your energy. So it's it's fantastic, mate. You've done an unbelievable job. And I would think to work under you would certainly inspire and transcend people to ask better questions about themselves. Because it's funny, even on some of the questions that we ask you, I feel like sometimes it comes from a place of excuse almost, of going, how the hell's he doing it? You know, you know what I mean? And you know, and you're answering very directly because you've lived it and you don't know it until you've done it, right? And you've done it and you can absolutely tell the authenticity in what you've done. It's very, very inspiring, mate.
There was one extra questions I did ask the team to throw a couple my way, and this one's a bit deep and a bit philosophical, but do you feel like you have a why? And that doesn't not just about business or about about the running, but what's your why that drives you or gets you up or gets you excited? What's Greg's why?
Why not? People said, oh, you can't run for a month, or you shouldn't run for a month, or you shouldn't run every day. Why not? You know, can't go for 1,000 days. Why not? You can't run a marathon. It's too hard. It's too much work. You got a family. You run a business. Why not? You can't do the 6 marathons. When are you going to fit in that? How are you going to afford? How are you going to take kids out of school and take them and give them experience of a lifetime? Why not? So I challenge those people who say that they can't get up. It's too hard to go for a run. It's raining out there. It's cold. I was too busy. The answer is always too busy. Oh, I didn't have enough time. Well, if you want to make time, you make time. So my answer is, why not?
I just got a tingle, Greg, because when Colleen and I got married, in our speech to each other, we had a line to say, when people say why, we'll say why not. And it's because we always thought, and this is the thing, I get it on a business level, because even when, you know, I was at the bank, people, there was so many negative comments as to leaving and starting a business and fear-mongering. And like you've already explained in this podcast, it's the people that really encourage your journey and encourage you to have a crack that mean everything. And that gives so much more power than the fear in other people's heads that they, you know, they can't help but communicate. And that's why it's really important to surround yourself with people. But you also have to have that personal strength to be able to, you know, dismiss those comments, because it's amazing if you're slightly vulnerable, they can sit with you, those types of comments externally. And I think it's that why not is such a great thing when anyone's trying to think of some new pursuit that they're looking to do. Absolutely. I'm just pumped talking about it. Yeah.
I've got a question, and it's something that I sometimes struggle with when it comes to running. While I'm inspired by you and I've tacked on to your, you know, the apron strings or whatever the saying is, that, you know, Greg said he wanted to do the global 6 major marathons, and I've just tacked on and said, if you go, I go, mostly because I wanted to do the international travel and thought it'd be a bit of fun. But, you know, there's times when you go out for a run or anything that you do that might seem like a chore, you know, like running or going to the gym, you know. Are there times, Greg, when you hate running or that you're not not enjoying it, or are you going out there and loving it every time?
There's times when it's tough, when there's workouts and I need to push because I know it's going to get me better. It's not always easy, but it's not always hard. I suppose one of the best things that I've read and I heard and multiple people who have been here before said, slow down to run quicker. What do you mean slow down to run quicker? So many people want to start running and they go out all the time trying to hit their PBs every time, let's go faster every time. But it actually works the opposite. You know what I mean? When you train hard, go hard. And then the rest of the runs, take it easy. Give you a chance for your body to recover so you can go hard again and you'll get faster. So that little term of slow down to run quicker has never left me. So majority of my runs are cruisy. I can chat, I can talk, I can run backwards. You know what I mean? For a lot of them, it's just getting the Ks in the legs. But when it's time to go, it's time to go. And that's the hard runs. And that's what makes you better as an athlete and a runner.
Greg, I think that you're a highly intelligent person, not only because you're an accountant and a runner, but because you barrack for the Essendon Football Club, which just puts you in another league, really. But given what you've learned in running, what's one thing you could give to the Essendon Football Club to get us a flag this year? Is there anything you've picked up along the journey that you could share? Because I know they'll be listening.
Never give up to the final siren.
Oh, bang. Hear that? That's on, Scott. It. Get them going.
Come on, Brad. Make it happen.
Come on, Brad. Well,
Greg, maybe Greg wasn't there. Did you come and see Brad Scott with me? No, it wasn't. He talks about elite athlete behavior. And I think, while Greg is the first person to admit maybe his sleep could be a bit better and maybe his diet could be a bit better and maybe his business partner influences him to have a few drinks sometimes when we shouldn't be. But, Brad Scott does talk about elite athlete behavior and, leading onto this, Greg, following the Essendon Football Club question would be, running that many days, not sleeping that much, and people saying, but you shouldn't run that much because your body will fall apart. You've somehow gone from the guy at the very start, you complained to me and said you had a bad back and that you couldn't run. But over 1,300 days later, you've kept your body in a shape and a condition where I think you dropped 17 kilos for starters, which probably helped on the back pain and everything else. But what is it that you then also have to do to put in the work that's not just going out for a run, but making sure that you, from a recovery point of view, what are the things you're doing to look after yourself?
I suppose I actually spend more time recovering than running. As you learn and try to understand your body, you learn that recovery is huge. I spoke about it before, fueling, pre-run, post-run, during run, but also the post-run is, most nights I'm on the roller, massage gun, or getting a massage, the Cairo, and I got these air compression boots that I use regularly to help the blood circulation, and then you're on the magnesium stuff. So there's a lot of things that I picked up along the way that helps me and works well with my body, but I probably spend more time recovering, and that's probably watching, an athlete like LeBron James of how much he spends and the amount of millions of dollars that he spends on recovery to make his career keep going at his age and how much minutes that he plays. I learned it from him. I learned it from Tom Brady. So again, you learn from the people that have mastered it. There's a reason why they spend so much on recovery. So, for this pleb in the guy that's just running 1,000 days, why can't I do it too? So I find my own way that I can do it. Obviously, I don't have the exhaust of the money that they have, but what I can do with the boots and the roller and the massage gun helps me keep achieving my smaller goals compared to other people in the world.
So Greg, when we talk to you in 2 years' time from now, what does life look like? What do you hope to accomplish? I get the marathons, I think the six in the next year or so. But what does life look like in a couple of years for you, given or is that a part of the excitement of the journey and not knowing and seeing where it leads?
Yes, don't know where it is. Hopefully the six marathons are done. The kids are a little bit older and they're moving over to athletics and I will be helping coach them. But I love sharing my knowledge and Instagram is a new – Jason pushes me on it to share my knowledge in terms of my shoe knowledge and PIBA and what I've learned and I love the fun of it on the Instagram, but also love to share my story and what's helped me get to where I am, what I've learned along the way. I've got a lot of other people into running now, which is exciting. I don't know, it's really taken up a new phase. For the London Marathon, they had 500,000 people apply for it last year, which was a record. Only 17,000 get in from that selection roughly. And now this year that was the most ever, and now they've upped it to 850,000. So I don't know where this running community's come from, but it's huge, it's big, it's bigger than I've ever expected, and I'm a part of it, and I'm excited to give back to the local, you know, park runs and communities, and where I can share as well. So what I've learnt, my little knowledge that I have learnt, I'm happy to share. And, you know, if anyone's got any questions, obviously always happy to share and pass it on.
I think there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast, Greg. So that those numbers creeping up on those marathons, no doubt have been inspired from that session 2 years ago. But what I would say, what resonates with me too, when you talk about putting money into your recovery, even from a business sense, I think there's a real lesson there as well. And like a lot of young men I speak to, you know, they spend 95% of their time just striving at work, pushing boundaries, and that's fine. But a lot of the times they don't put the time into recuperating and actually taking care of themselves in that journey. And I think like anything, I think we always need to look after ourselves but still strive aggressively towards goals. And I think just listening to you talk about it in what you're doing in sports and running, definitely resonated even from a workplace situation of going, you can go hard, but you do have to spend time relaxing and recuperating the muscle and the mental muscle on top of that as well. So I think there's a, you know, there's an even deeper lesson there, not only in life, but in business, on how we need to look after ourselves as professionals to perform at that elite level. So yeah, it's certainly resonated.
I think as well, adding on to that, the community aspect to it as well. Like, you're not in it alone. I think a lot of people see running as a solo sport where it might be you against you, but there is this epic community. You know, I hadn't done a park run until Greg and one of our team members, Kath, had started talking about these park runs, and I felt like, where have I been on this earth? Like, to not know that this park runs existed. And Greg had done maybe a dozen of them over a 5 or 6 year period. And again, one of those stupid challenges that we do popped up, and it was to do, Greg had done 12 in 5 years. So I lipped off and said, let's do 12 in 12 months. And of course, Greg beat me and he did it. So I've gone for a double or nothing this year for 24 park runs in 2024. Now, that's not the point of the story. The community side though, like Greg, you know, to talk about the running community, people messaging and getting around each other, rocking up to a park run and volunteering. You're now doing a pacer. So you're going to help pace people to achieve their times. Does that help you now or motivate you or give you a sense of, you know, the passion, drive and purpose as well, now that you've added these extra things to the journey?
It's part of my journey, learning to pace and share and, you know, watching other people achieve their goals, and if I can help them, as I still got my own goals, but been able to share that knowledge. And yeah, the pacing on the last gig, that was good to talk and help a couple of people to their PB, and they come and spoke to me after about how much they appreciated that I was able to help them. So I love that in general, and I love doing runs, and it's become more than just a streak. It's become a lot more for me and the people that I've met, and want to give back to that community to keep it moving.
Bringing this inwards a little bit towards, you know, future advisory in business, you know, you're a business advisor to a lot of people out there. You know, you're their accountant, they turn to you. How has this helped you in becoming a better business advisor, you know, not just a business owner, but the clients that you deal with now? Has it changed the way you talk to them or you know, your relationships?
I suppose for me, I always want to keep growing and learning. So the running part of the streak part has definitely helped me on a mental level and what I can handle. Obviously still low in observing and sponging in what I can. And always it's been in my genes to share what I know. So as we grow as a business and come across different things, I'm willing to share, and it's never changed from work, outside of work. I'm always willing to help people wherever I can. Yes, some clients pay for it, but it's not all about that. It's about, you know, trying to help whoever, wherever I can, because what goes around comes around. So as I grow and learn both inside and outside the workplace, happy to share and give people the knowledge that I've learned over time.
And we're always learning, aren't we, as business owners, as people? And the fact that you can share that knowledge, I certainly love that in our business. And I know any clients that have come across the future, you know, the accountancy side's just the logistics. Where the real value is the care, the strategy, the understanding of goals and where a company wants to go through and achieve and how they best go about it. And you guys brought a lot of wisdom and a lot of logistical benefits to, you know, clients and continue to do so. And I just love the journey that you're both on in regards to business partners and sharing these life experiences together. I think it's inspirational, and you'll have memories for a lifetime, not only what you do in business but outside of business too. It's very, very inspirational, guys. Particularly, you know, obviously Greg's the highlight for today, but Jason, the camaraderie and mateship, you just don't see that as often in this day and age. So yeah, working very nicely, boys.
Well, thank you, Marty. And look, I can honestly put it down. Like, I honestly say right now that my life would be very different without Greg's influence and input, from 14 and 9 months at Macca's to, you know, I think I've shared the story about the only reason I became an accountant was because Greg didn't want to let me throw my degree away. I said, no, I don't want to be an accountant, stuff this. I'm going to go snowboarding or something. He said, you're an idiot. I got you a job already. You just got to come in for the interview. And I was fuming. I thought, can't believe this. He's gone and got me a job as an accountant. It's the last thing I wanted to do. And cut to, you know, another 10, 15 years on, we get to do this every day, rock up to work. We were just on a team meeting before and talked about, you know, how we love rocking into work. We love being surrounded by a team. We love our clients and the partners that we work with. So I feel very blessed and privileged. There's a lot of gratitude for Greg and for those around us. I'm couldn't be happier. So while I'm on a bit of a tangent, for those playing at home, Greg mentioned his Instagram. I do think he's looking for some extra followers to get on and like the videos and posts he's doing. So follow Bramma_000. So Bramma and then _300. Get on there and give Bramma a follow on Instagram. If you're in the business world, you can find Greg Bramich on LinkedIn as well. Loves sharing, loves the community. So definitely feel free, if you've got any questions, to throw Greg's way. Before I do the little wrap up and throw to Marty for his favorite part of the episode, Greg, do you have a final bit of advice for anyone thinking about starting their running journey, or someone who thinks that, you know, it's not for them or they can't do it?
Just get yourself out there. You know, you don't have to put a heavy target in a marathon, 1K, 2Ks, 3Ks, just a 5K. Just remember, slow down. Slow down to run quicker. So just take it easy. Not every run needs to be a PB. It's about consistency, both in life and for running. If you can be consistent, the rest will come.
Well, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, well, that's been another wonderful episode of The Numbers Game. We thank you for tuning in and listening. I've thoroughly enjoyed this one. You know, I've got a big past and big history with Greg, and you know, he has to put up with my crap every day. So it's nice to be able to get him on the podcast and let him have some of the spotlight for the amazing things that Greg's done over the last couple of years. Inspiring journey, Greg. Thank you for your time. Listeners, as always, like, share, comment, follow, give us your feedback. You can find us on all of the places that we've told you all the time. Best one to get us is probably through the Instagram page or LinkedIn, where you can contact us, and the email hello@thenumbersgamepodcast.com.au. Until next time, get those sneakers on, get out there running, or until next time,
throw your goals far enough in front of you so you can run and catch them. Thanks, Greg. Game over.